Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Not quite Bobby V. There we go. Always getting the show started with that. Pops enjoying some time, a little R&R.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there you go. He does something called the Friends Urgently Competing Olympic Fun Fest.
Okay.
And you can figure out what that acronym stands for. It's not radio appropriate, but it's basically him and his college buddies get together and have like a little like Olympic, like, you know, they play a bunch of different games, you know, darts, pool, bocce, pig, you know.
Wait,
dice.
What's it called again?
Friends Urgently Competing Olympic Fun Fest. So there you go. And they even got hats made. So he's down there enjoying that. In Florida, so that means
I was going to say, is it Florida or New York? I was going to ask.
The locations move. They've had it in Louisville before, too, but this year's is in Florida, so he's down there. Should be back tomorrow. We have some musical guests joining us tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun. But you get another day of my man, Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valvano, Tanner Bertomesso. We appreciate you guys joining us. Appreciate you being in, Jeff, because I know you're pulling double duty again today.
Oh, yeah, man.
Doing
this
This
is fun for me.
You are just an absolute like legend. Because I did the last hour of Middays with Marcus Maben. Mm-hmm. Maben dipped out, so it was me and Steve. Mm-hmm. And it was super fun, don't get me wrong. But like that hour, just doing that hour took a little bit out of my sales for this like next 3 hours. And you're doing back to back 3 hour shows, and I've listened to you. You don't lose much on your fastball. You give a complete game.
I appreciate
like,
it. Man.
And your boy here, it's like I'm the modern day bougie pitcher. I'm on a pitch count. Yeah. I want you pulling me at 5 1/3 innings.
And you need ice.
And I need ice.
Everywhere.
I need Bengay. Like, you know. But yeah. So, but no. If you enjoy Jeff, and there's no reason you shouldn't. He will be joining Mark Innes today as well. So you can get a double dose of Jeff Lightsey Jr. So, not a ton to talk about today. I wanted to start the show with who's better, MJ or LeBron. But I said I was going to say that tongue-in-cheek, but I'm actually going to relate it to something newsworthy on the day. So last night, Stanley Cup.
Yes.
Panthers pull it out. They win 2-1. Connor McDavid robbed of his first. Not robbed, but he doesn't win his first Stanley Cup. So Tanner said kind of jokingly, it's like, so does this mean Jack Eichel's the better player? Now, for the hockey fans out there, all five of you, you know what we're talking about. For the rest of you, 2015 NHL draft,
yes.
Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel. It was the discussion of who's going to go first. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's up there as one of the better NHL drafts, similar to the 2003 NBA draft, mm-hmm. you know, one of those all-time great ones. You have two generational talents from two different countries, America and Canada, and the discussion was who's going to be the better one. I think Connor McDavid's the better player, mm-hmm. but Jack Eichel won a Stanley Cup with the Vegas Golden Knights. And so that brings me to, I feel like in the NHL, cups aren't as important, but why is it so much more important that there's no other sport when you're doing the GOAT debate or the Hall of Fame debate, it matters more in where? The NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder why that is. Is
less
it just
players.
Is it strictly
I think it's because a player could have a bigger impact on a basketball game. Like you can have like an MJ, like what was it, 63 in a playoffs like kind of game, or like Luka had, he averaged like a triple double throughout the first like three rounds or like two rounds. He was a big reason to like why they got to the finals in the first place.
I mean, is it strictly just the fact that you can have a bigger impact on your team as a player in the NBA? I mean, in the NHL and in baseball, you can have the game taken over by one position, a pitcher or a goalie, respectively.
Mostly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, so we can do 5 minutes on who's better, Eichel or McDavid, and then completely nuke the show and have nobody want to listen. but we can do that. But we can also talk about the importance of rings in the NBA.
So ring culture really, like, in sports in general, it really started with Michael Jordan.
Right.
Like, because, and the reason why I say that is because, and it really didn't start till his career was over. And the reason why I say that is because Michael Jordan's statue that sits out in front of Chicago, it was built after his third ring.
Right.
And when he retired. And on the statue, it says the greatest that ever lived or the best ever or something like that.
Yeah.
But he only had three rings.
Bird had that time.
Yeah, Bird had three rings. Magic had five rings. Kareem had six. Like, so there were players with more rings, but they had already declared him the best they'd ever seen. And then, obviously, he goes on to win three more. And then, to most people, it just shut down the debate forever.
Right.
It really... Like, the thing is, you see more of that mostly with him. Now, Brady has seven, so it's just so abnormal that you have to give him. Like, you know,
yeah,
like
right.
He has to be the GOAT because there's nobody even really close that plays his position, that does what he does.
His biggest rival was Peyton Manning, who only had two, and one of those was truly as a game manager.
Exactly.
Not trying to lick the sprinkles off
his donut. Whoa. Don't forget Eli.
Well, yeah. Okay, that's fair. Eli was
But his competition as far as, like, who's the best ever?
Right.
It's like Montana, who has four, but then Brady almost doubles him. And then it was Peyton, who had more individual accolades, but didn't have the playoff success.
Right.
Now you see a guy like Mahomes, who's getting the playoff success with the individual accolades, and now that's why that's a debate, or, you know, and he's only, what, 7-8 years into his career.
Right.
So it's like...
And they don't seem to be slowing down. If they can just... The Chiefs can just get out of their own way and stop the off-field antics.
Oh, my goodness. And even that doesn't seem to slow down.
Yeah,
as long
seriously.
As they have Mahomes, Reed, and Travis, it's like, okay, we're good. And then they signed up Chris Jones, which helps. So, like, that's why he's coming up. The reason why I think, too, people... Some folks will just always be a Jordan over LeBron guy in this case is because, one, there is the nostalgic aspect.
Right.
So, like, there is the people who are – most of the people who are Jordan over LeBron guys are older. They're 45, 50. So that means when Jordan was playing, they were in their 20s.
Right.
They were in their teens or whatever. So
it was
like,
in their prime of their
and Jordan,
sports watching.
And the way the NBA is now, like, LeBron didn't really elevate the NBA. He just kind of maintained the NBA. He introduced the new generation of fans because he was a high school guy. But when Jordan came into the NBA, like, the NBA was still growing.
Yeah,
like, Jordan helped make the game international with the Dream Team and all the winning and just being so dominant during a period. When he's retired the second time, the NBA lost, like, half its viewership. Like, he was that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And because of social media, because of the way the world now, there's not a superstar that can be that big anymore. Like, it's just almost impossible.
Right.
Because you have constant access to them in their lives, which includes their faults.
Right.
And in Michael Jordan's case... He didn't really see his faults that often
because
there was no social media. Like, if there was a social media, Jordan wouldn't have been able to go to the
casino. Oh, he would have been crucified for his,
all the gambling and all the...
All his takes. Oh, my God. He said Republicans wear shoes, too.
Yeah, like,
oh, yeah, right.
All of that stuff that kind of came out during The Last Dance, that, like, imagine Twitter around or TikTok when that, all the conspiracy theories that would have came about that. So, and there still are 30 years later. So, that's why I think Jordan has, like, that... And in the shoes, like the cultural impact.
I was just
the
about
shoes.
To say.
I mean, I have my Jordan 10s on today. Like, that too, when your career's been over for 30 years, essentially, and you still have shoes that sell out today and have no signs of ever stopping.
And there's no real rival.
No,
like,
exactly.
There's no, LeBron has had some success with shoes and everything, but there's no cultural shoe besides the Air Jordan.
No. And so that, all of those things play into... You know, Jordan's favor over LeBron. Now, in this hockey debate that you guys are going to have, because I'm interested to see what you say, I remember, like, the Ovechkin-Sidney Crosby thing. Like, there was a thing there, too. Like, that was a huge thing. And to me, even – now, I don't know the two – McDavid and these guys as much as I remember them – But I remember it was kind of like the same thing. Were they both Canadian, or was one was from Russia?
Ovechkin's from Russia. And it was sort of, it was a little convoluted in the sense that they were both the same draft year because there was a lockout.
Yes.
So, no. It was, no.
Yeah, wasn't Ovechkin supposed to get drafted the year before, and then there was the lockout?
He was 04, then they had the season.
No, I think
then No, he gets drafted, then they have a lockout, and then somehow, some way.
I thought Ovechkin and Crosby were the same year, but I could be completely wrong.
Of Malkin.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. You're right. Yeah,
Crosby was the lockout year. Yeah. So they went first overall, then next year Crosby went first overall.
Right. That's right. But
is Crosby Canadian
or yes.
is
he American? Crosby's
you just
Canadian,
went
yeah.
so deep in your bag there because to this day I remember I think it was 09 Crosby's Cup run after they had just lost to Detroit in the finals. Ovechkin and Crosby had the best series I've ever seen.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was game seven, and there was one game they both had hat tricks. And I don't even remember who won the game because I was just like, I remember freaking out like, this is the greatest hockey I've ever seen in my life.
Two generational superstars and everything. But like, I almost feel like Crosby had perennially the better team around him.
Yes, he always did.
Because, I mean, he had Malkin with him. He had Chris Letang. He had Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, as a goalie. He just had a better team around him. Whereas Ovechkin had some, I mean, has played with some dogs. I mean, Nicholas Backstrom, TJ Oshie. He's had some talent around him as well. But Crosby had that core unit similar to a Pippen and Rodman that Jordan had that, you know, just kind of was like a staple. I mean, Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, I think, had the longest tenure of a trio in any of the major four sports. I mean, what was it? How many years? I forgot that
they
played
together.
Yeah. I think Letang hasn't retired yet. So they're still playing.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to retire after this year, but at least it hasn't come out yet. So, no, there's definitely that aspect. But see, like, I kind of feel like right now that McDavid has the better team around him. He has his Scottie Pippen and Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah.
Whereas Eichel hasn't really found that Robin to his Batman.
Do you think after losing a Game 7, like, could they repeat? Like, could they make it back to the Stanley Cup?
Oh, God, yeah. They definitely have the firepower to do that.
Edmonton,
the Oilers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they need to figure out their goalie though first.
Yeah, Skinner's way too inconsistent.
He's got a great mustache, but wow.
Great mustache, but way too inconsistent. But not saying he's a bad goalie. He needs to get a little bit more consistent. He didn't necessarily win them any games, I would say.
He went off for those past three.
He went off, but they also scored. They outscored them, 18-4?
Yeah.
I mean, he could have been Grant Fuhr in the 80s, where just as long as you keep it under five, you know, they would have won some of those games.
You know who...
He did play well, though.
Draisaitl was non-existent in the finals.
True.
That's like a Malkin to Crosby. Like, if that he's not there, like... McDavid can only do so much. And
McDavid wasn't overpowering last night. He only had two shots. He was like 50% on the faceoff draw.
So I watched the final period. I only watched the final period. But like those last 5 minutes? Edmonton was just like, you guys are not. I mean, not Edmonton. Florida was like, you guys are not scoring.
No, they just locked them down.
They just kept out the same line, too.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they had so many shots by the net, and there was just nothing. Like, everybody was in protecting the goal. I'm like, what is going on?
Brovsky was playing well. They were doing a good job clearing the puck. And it made me a little nervous.
Yeah, they cleared the puck.
Because sometimes teams will, the Rangers, my team, always lost that way. When they would ease off the throttle and play not to lose as opposed to play
just,
to win.
Just, hey, we're not looking to score. It didn't look like they were trying to score
much. No, because
they weren't.
Hey, they were just trying to clear the puck.
Let's just make sure they don't get anything near this net. Like, there's nothing.
And
like,
they
took away their goalie and everything.
That hasn't been Florida's MO necessarily. Wow. They've had a suffocating forecheck.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, throughout the playoffs, I mean, that's how they beat the Rangers. They absolutely would just keep it in their zone and smother them to death. So for them to kind of go into that lockdown mode and execute, it was interesting for me to watch that because I was expecting, I was like, guys, you could pull a Rangers here.
Yeah.
And when you play not to lose as opposed play to win, mm-hmm. and that hasn't been your MO. There was a tiny part of me for a split second until I saw them executing the way they were. I was like, this is a choke. Mm. Like, this is setting up for a choke, yeah. because you're going away from this, from what you've been doing,
yeah.
to be successful. But they, to their credit, they just locked them down.
I mean, just like Edmonton, even, you know, they got rid of their goalie looking to add an extra body to try to, and nothing.
Nothing.
Like, they just couldn't get anything. I mean, that was exhilarating, man. Like, it was just
fun.
Watching those last, like I said, I only watched the last period, really the last 5 minutes of the last period, and just to see the execution of, hey, we've got a lead, we've got 5 minutes left, let's make sure they don't score. Because even if Edmonton scores, it's still just a tie game.
Yeah,
like,
right,
it's not
right.
like they, but they were like, nah, we're ending this right now.
Yeah, we're finishing
and
it
I'm
in
like,
regulation.
And Edmonton got a ton of shots on goal, like, at the end, and just couldn't get anything.
Nothing.
Oh, man,
they couldn't get anything.
That was
cool. I got a question, because
yes.
I saw a video of it, and if you know about him, I'm sure no one on here is listening knows who he is. Coach Chippy, you've probably seen some of his videos.
Not sure I have.
He makes, like, he's very quick with, like, skits whenever, like, events happen like this. Like, the Stanley Cup, like, Panthers win, like, he made a video about that. But, because he was talking about how, like, the players celebrating and they're all going around, like, I'm never leaving. Like, no income tax. Nobody knows us in Florida because no one likes hockey. Like, we can go to the beach whenever. We can golf whenever. We're making, like, whatever we need. Like, they've got good money. Like, it made me think, like, what do you think's the most underrated, like, spot, like, a team to be on in, like, all sports? Because, like, that video made me think, I'm like, honestly, the Panthers might be the best spot. If you're in Miami, you play hockey. I mean, you're loved right now until 3 months later, and then everyone's just partying at Club Live or whatever it's called there.
Yeah, you get to just
and,
yeah, live. You get to just, yeah, live
and
on
like
South
Kachuk
Beach.
Can walk down the street and the big, oh yeah,
see, like,
probably a salesman or something.
That's another thing, and we can get off of the hockey because the texter said you guys were only supposed to do 5 minutes on this.
Hey.
They're already getting mad. But like,
wait, this is Louisville Stanley Cup too, because Louisville Panthers, right?
Yeah, that's true. We have history to the Panthers.
Where's our parade?
We were the former AAA affiliate,
yeah.
for the Panthers. That's
yeah.
a good point.
Woo!
But like, Drew actually texted me this last night, because I texted him, was like, how lit's that building? He's like, Nick, it was like, this is really fun. He's like, but I got to be honest, truth be told, there's not a franchise that I would want to win the cup less than Florida. He said, you go to the gas station here and you have no... Like, there's no feeling that your team is playing for a championship.
Game seven of the championship.
I mean, look, great crowd. They do have, and they've struggled with attendance in recent years. So shout out to the Panthers for, you know, kind of getting a resurgence in popularity.
Yeah,
down there.
I talked about that with my buddies last night. I was like, because it was like when Ekblad held up the cup and he was the first overall pick in like 2014. I was like, damn, him and Barkov have just been there when it was
bad.
Like, 500 people were
yeah,
in the
seriously.
Stands.
Like, I mean,
like, Jeff, they would not sell any tickets.
No, I mean, there was talks of like them like leaving Florida. Like, it was approaching that level of bad.
Wow.
But see, like, and I, you know, when
that's
you're
South Florida sports, though, the fans are ugh.
Yeah.
Well,
local fans, like, you have like me, where I'll watch any Heat game or Dolphins game and be screaming at my TV.
Right.
But then you have people that like live in Miami and they're like, oh yeah, let's go to the Dolphins game, and then be like, oh, it's halftime. It's hot. Let's go to the beach.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's a South Beach thing or what, but like, there is a certain element of, I mean, this cup would have mattered more. Way more. I mean, they would have burned Edmonton to the ground last night had they won. And there's a tiny part of me that I'm torn
don't
as a
say
hockey
that too
fan.
Loud.
Yeah, I know.
It's history.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Like, there's a tiny part of me as a hockey fan where I want hockey to succeed in non-traditional markets, but at the same time, you can't. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's hockey in Miami.
Didn't
yeah.
New Orleans' like, mayor like say like, oh, if we the NHL can bring a championship team to the desert of Vegas, why can't we bring one down here? And I was like, what?
I don't know if it
New Orleans and hockey just yeah. made no sense to me.
I don't know.
And the thing is, that that's it. It's not just subject to Miami. Like, it's like that in LA too. Yeah. Like, if your teams aren't good, if you're not named the Dodgers or even like the Lakers, maybe, like, because the Lakers are kind of losing a little steam too. Like, man, the fans are fickle. Like, well, they're not diehard, man. Like,
you also have like a litany of things to cheer for. Exactly. I mean, you have two baseball teams essentially with the Angels and the Dodgers. You have two hockey or two basketball teams with the Clippers and Lakers.
Yeah, two NFL teams.
Yeah, I mean,
the Chargers are in LA now. The Rams are in LA, and most LA people are Raiders fans because they were in LA for a long time. So, like if your teams aren't good, they just won't root for you.
And also, when you have a city that has so much stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, now I will say, maybe it's my New York bias here. Like, I do think that New York, even though it's a city that has Broadway, has other things that going for it, and also multiple teams, you know, I do feel like they care about all of their sports pretty passionately.
Yeah, I think I heard somebody say the colder the temperature gets in your city, the better your sports fans are.
I would believe that. I mean, look at Buffalo.
I heard that before.
I mean, Buffalo is crazy for the Sabres and the Bills.
If you have warm weather, cities are least likely to be like diehard fans.
That makes sense.
Like, where, because you're competing, not only are you competing with other professional teams, and if they stink, I'm not going to, but you're also competing with the beaches and the sunshine and the weather and, you know what I mean, and the outdoor stuff that people in warm weather. Whereas, like, when it's 12 degrees outside, man, I'm at home rooting for the Yankees. You know, I'm at home when it's November, October baseball. Like, I'm at home rooting for the Mets in the playoffs or the Yankees or whoever.
Right.
I can't go outside to a beach when it's negative 3 degrees. Or if I'm in Chicago, like, I'm going to root for the Cubs or the White Sox or the Bears or whatever.
Right.
Because, like, and if I'm going to the game, I know I'm going to the game freezing my tail off. And that shows how
invested.
Diehard I am, because that's
right.
My team. So, like, I heard that, and I was like, man, that's a good point. I never heard that before. The colder the temperature in the city, the bigger the diehard fans they are.
I'd like to see the research behind that, but that makes total sense. Like, that makes total sense.
You bring
sense.
Up Chicago. I went to Bears versus Cardinals this past season in December.
In Chicago.
Ooh, and it was, like, the end of the season, so it was, like, no one's fighting for anything. Actually, the Bears just needed the Panthers to lose.
To get the number one pick. Yeah.
Justin Fields was playing for my consolation bracket fantasy team. So there was, you know.
It was at that game, too, that the Packers beat the Panthers to lock up the first overall pick. So there was a moment they're like, oh, no, the Packers won. Hey, we got the first overall pick. But, like, you bring that up, Lightsy, and I know it's, like, the funniest thing to just say. I've never seen such a long wave from fans. It went around like 12 times. It was freezing, and people were getting up going,
well, they're probably just doing it to, you know,
stay warm.
To stay warm. So,
thanks, brother.
Yeah, that was cool.
Someone gave us a shock outside.
Yeah, that was good. I like that. But no, I mean, I definitely think there's something to that with the cold weather teams and everything. But I'm torn as someone. I don't know what's better for the game. Is it better when a non-traditional team wins it, or a small market team, you know, in the NBA or something? Or is it better when the bigger market teams, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's a bigger deal when the Lakers win.
Yeah.
It's a bigger deal when the Knicks are good. You know, let's look at it in the NBA this year. I mean, the most dominant franchise of all time won another title. Would that have been better than the Mavs winning? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. And the Mavs are...
I think it varies sport to sport.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think it kind of varies sport to sport because, one, I think as much as people... Sports fans love to either root for or against something.
True.
So they love... That's why we get into sports. We love storylines. Like, we love, like, this guy could overcome and win his first title, or these guys are so damn dominant, we want them to lose, or whatever. So, like, we love storylines. And in the finals this year, outside of really, like, the Celtics had a storyline, but they don't have big personalities, right? Like, they're just, like, good, American-born players for the most part, like with Tatum, led by Tatum and Brown.
Right.
And there's like they're kind of low key, like they don't they don't really give us anything because they're so their private lives are very private.
Jaylen Brown might be the most fascinating man in sports.
Yeah,
like, and I didn't find out about that until Maven showed me this video. Like, like a game, like you
how
know,
smart he is.
Yeah,
and
like
how,
game
like,
five of the finals, and I was like, oh wow, I had no idea.
Like, yeah, and like it, and so he like, but because they're so almost like introverted. It really wasn't a lot to root for. Whereas Luka, if he would have won the title, he would have became a villain to some people because he complains so much. His style of play isn't the most
Kyrie's
sexy.
Been a polarizing player.
Exactly. Yeah. But he has like a redemption story. Like,
yeah,
so
right,
they
exactly.
had more of like the storylines going, I feel like, for them than the Celtics. And that's why when the Celtics won,
it was kind of meh.
Yeah, like nobody really cared. You know, nobody really cared. The NBA also was kind of in a weird kind of space because they're most of their, I think we talked about this before, most of their best players are foreign born.
Right.
And, you know, say what you want, but most Americans are heavy American, meaning they want to see, they want to see the Michael Jordans or nobody really rooted against Michael Jordan except for the guys he played against, but they want to see the Michaels, the Larrys, the Magics, the Kobes, the LeBrons, the Shaqs. But when you have a bunch of Lukas and Jokic and Giannis and all these guys, kind of like
Wemby.
It's like nothing wrong with them, but like you're not going to get hardcore people really behind them as much as you did these Steph Currys and
the American
whatever.
Guys.
So like,
and also the fact that you got to see those guys play in college.
Yes,
I mean we were all Steph Curry fans before he got into the NBA because it was like, man, this kid on Davidson is sick.
Yeah,
you know. So I mean, there was none of us really were following whatever league Luka came
from. Well, we can't. I mean, play it. 6:03 in the morning. You know, I mean,
yeah,
whatever.
That's a good point.
Like,
right.
Time difference, and then they come over here, and they kind of just like, okay. That's why this draft isn't getting any love because the first two picks are supposed to be French-born players, Richey and Alex Sarr.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like they may be good, they may not. I don't know.
I've also seen so many different first overall picks. I think Goodman said he was going to pick Steven if he was. Who even has the first overall pick? I don't even. Atlanta, right?
Think so?
Yes, the Hawks have number one. Yeah.
I think Jeff Goodman said, like, oh, if I'm Atlanta, I'd pick Stephen Castle. No one else has said Stephen Castle.
Yeah, he likes
first
Castle
over.
A lot.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
And then I've seen, like, Donovan Clingan going to third overall to the Rockets. Then I've seen Reed Shepard going third overall. Then it's like one of the French guys goes third overall because there's, like, two of them that are top. Sarr.
Yeah, and who's the other one?
Richey.
Richey,
that's right.
And then you have, like, a player that I thought was really good in college at Duke, Jared McCain. Like, now he's like, oh, he's down at 18. Oh, now he's back at 10. Oh, Rod Dillingham's going in the 20s now. Oh, now it's like, it's all been all over this place. Isn't that tomorrow too?
Yeah.
First round's tomorrow. Yeah.
So are they also doing one round a day?
This is the first year they're
making it a
two-day
event.
Why? It's to try to eat up more. Well, really what it is to try to eat up more space on the calendar because the NFL has just completely dominated the calendar.
Right.
Like they've come into like the NFL. I don't know if they made a wrong move in like 10 years. Like every move that they've done, it seems like it's been a hit.
Yeah.
Like with the latest, I think, being expanding Hard Knocks, like now they have
now a season long
and now
which I think is a great idea,
and they're following multiple teams. I think they're following the entire AFC North, like with the Bengals, the Ravens, the Browns, like everybody's included.
And
in
I think
Hard
that's
Knocks.
A great idea,
and exactly. Yeah. And then before that announcement, they had made the wide receiver Netflix show. So last year they did
the quarterbacks,
and it was awesome,
which like, turned everybody into a Kirk Cousins fan.
Yes,
which I thought was impossible.
That's
no
what,
offense to Kirk Cousins,
but that's what made it awesome. And so this year, for last season, they followed Devontae Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, and one more receiver. I think it was Deebo Samuels. So now it's like the wide receiver. So we're going to see there, and like they haven't made a wrong move in a decade, and it's. And they're but because of all the right moves they make, they eat up other people's space. Like it's coming over. You got your space, your block that you doing. Nah, I think I'm gonna come take over your corner. You know what I mean? I'm gonna come take yours. And what they did is like Christmas. Like for example, Christmas,
oh god, yeah, that used to be the NBA's day.
It was always the NBA's day because the NBA plays on every day of the week, whereas NFL's mostly played on Sundays, and you had some Monday, and then they tweaked in Thursday. Well, Christmas is on a Wednesday this year,
right?
And you know what they said? I think we'll still play on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's like we like that.
Yeah,
we'll take that from you, Pluck.
And guess what? Netflix they're going to pay us $150 million a game.
Right. And that is only going to make the game more worldwide,
exactly,
too.
And I get $150 million, and we strike a three-year deal where we get two games on Christmas. So I get $300 million for two individual games. Because in our TV contracts, they don't account for Wednesday. Because we don't play on Wednesdays.
Good point.
But since Christmas falls on Wednesday, or we don't always play on Christmas either. But since Christmas can fall on any day of the week, we can sell our Christmas Day rights to Netflix for $150 million a game. It's crazy.
That's wild.
It's crazy.
It really is crazy. I mean, the NFL doesn't miss. That's why they're the king.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rich is only going to get richer. But, they've long since, the past, I want to say, 10 years, you've seen it. They've tried to make the NFL into a year-long thing. I mean, mm-hmm. they have the shortest regular season, and yet it gets the most year-long coverage. And, I mean, and they're geniuses. You know, they space it out enough, and they even sprinkle during the dead time. Now they've done a good job, I think, with the UFL in making it a legitimate minor league and taking – it's like, okay, the AAFL or whatever, you know, had some success. The XFL had some success. Let's just merge those two. And make it like, and that's their slowest period of the time, but you still have some football on the TV.
Yeah, I think the UFL championship game got almost like 2 million viewers.
Yeah, not bad. Like, that's and it legit. Was a horrible game.
It was.
It was a horrible game. No, I mean, like, they got
the
shut
only
out.
Shutout of the season.
The only shutout of the season happened in the championship. It was awful. It was serious. It was a terrible game. I only watched a little bit of it. But yeah, and, it was. Yeah.
And that is how you dominate a calendar. That is how you completely dominate a calendar of a sport. And so I think, you know, we got far away from where we started. I think what you were saying about small markets, is it better for a small market and to grow in that area or for a traditional power? And I think it varies from sport to sport. I think every sport really to kind of infuse some life into you. People say they hate dynasties, but dynasties run sports. Like, the sports are made up on dynasties. Like, whether it's that fan base continuing to grow and everybody hating them, or that fan base, if it's rare, but people just all of a sudden, everybody loves that person, whoever's dominating. So, for example, right now the NFL has a current dynasty. It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
And it just so happened to be in Kansas City, which isn't like LA, New York, Texas. Like, it's Kansas City. Like, it's not huge. But it's amazing for the sport. One, they got a gift that the Chiefs, Travis Kelce, happened to be dating the most famous person in the world, Taylor Swift, and has her in the middle of Kansas City where most people couldn't point out on a map. They don't even know if it's Missouri or Kansas.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's like
Missouri or Kansas. So there's that. That was just a gift. But then also, they had a compelling story. Andy Reid, who was such a great coach but could never win the big one, had all these different quarterbacks, turned all these guys into great quarterbacks, but could never win the big one. It's like, man, if he only got got his Brady or his Montana or whatever, he would be dominant. And then he gets it.
And then he gets it,
He gets it from this
guy.
With
a good supporting cast,
But he gets it from a guy that was unexpected. Like, Patrick Mahomes wasn't the first pick. And even when he went number 10, people were like, yo, are you taking this guy number 10? This guy couldn't get it under control at Texas Tech.
I will say the people in Kansas were excited about him. Like, Jason Anderson was geeked from the start. It was like, we have a Ferrari in the garage with the highest level of respect to the league's best bus driver, Alex Smith. And I don't even mean that necessarily as a knock.
But it's just the truth.
It was just the truth. And then they had
the perfect
Ferrari
way
in the
to
garage.
Describe Alex Smith. No, I mean, bus driver, just keeping it safe place.
Yeah.
No, check down. First down.
And he was successful. He was good.
Yeah, they had to move up from like 23, meaning they were a playoff team, to number 10 to even get Mahomes. Maybe it was like 25. It was deep into the first round. They had to move all the way up to 10. And, like, they may have been excited in-house because, I mean, they wouldn't have moved up if they weren't. But the rest of the world were kind of like, what are they doing?
Yeah, who's this guy from
Texas Tech? Like, he's good, but he's kind of like a loose cannon. Well, you come and get refined under a year of Andy Reid not having to play, and then he becomes the best player in the league. But right now, the Chiefs dynasty is giving people something to root against.
Right.
Hey, can Joe Burrow overcome that? Can Josh Allen? Can Lamar Jackson? Is CJ Stroud the next up? Like, there's so many storylines. Like, can these teams dethrone the king?
Right.
And so that is driving everything that they push. And Mahomes happens to be clean cut, family, not in trouble. Travis Kelce can be loose a little bit, but he's dating Taylor Swift, so that's also a plus. So there's a storyline there, but there's a dynasty for everyone to root against.
Right.
Every sport.
Or to root for. I mean, it's making these smaller market teams. I mean, we saw it with the Patriots, too, become now national brands.
It was the same way. And so every sport kind of needs, it doesn't need to be a 20-year dynasty, but it needs to have like something, like I said, to most, because most people are going to root against them.
Right.
To root against, but then to build that following to also root for. And I think that's what hockey, if hockey could have something like that, I don't necessarily know if it has to be the Panthers, but if someone can win two out of the next three, you know, Stanley Cups, or three out of the next four, kind of like a little dynasty.
See, that would be terrible.
I think for
hockey.
Okay, yeah.
Why is that?
What makes you say
because,
that?
Because I feel like when you're not a mainstream sport, and hockey is the big four and everything like that, but the mainstream sports really are football, then a gap, the NBA, then a gap, then the MLB. Mm-hmm. I think when you have sports that have already kind of crossed over into the American lexicon, like pop culture wise, they're already popular. That's good when you have a dynasty. But when you have, I think of UConn basketball and women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, but it almost killed the sport.
No, that's true. They were too dominant.
And they were winning
like 4 and 5 in a row.
Someone who lived in Connecticut. Yeah. But maybe that's a little too going into the dynasty.
But I get what you're saying.
I feel like, you know, it can kind of kill a sport. In hockey, unless you have a really traditional market that has crossed over into the American lexicon, and there's not many teams that have done that, or you have a super marketable star, and there's not many of those in the NHL, I think it would kill it. Like, I mean, the Tampa Bay, they already had a dynasty. They had, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, but it's freaking in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Nobody really cared. Mm. Like, and I'm afraid that only kind of hurts the sport when you're not one of those top teams, because when you are one of those big leagues, you have access to everybody. The common sports fan will follow you, and it turns the smaller market teams into those national brands, like we saw with the Patriots, like we're seeing with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes. But when you're a tertiary or a secondary league, I don't think no one is going to be walking around in, you know, Dubuque, Iowa, wearing Tampa Bay Lightning jerseys or Matt Tkachuk jerseys from the Panthers if they turn into a dynasty.
Yeah.
Where, like, so I feel like you need parity in those smaller leagues.
Do you think just because the NHL is based in America, do you think having so many international stars in hockey hurts the sport as far as growth in America?
Yes and no. It depends on the marketability.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Alex Ovechkin, Russian, you know, but he's a marketable star.
Yeah, everybody love Ovi.
And he also has a style that's funny. He scores a lot of goals. He hits hard.
He has no teeth.
Yeah, he has no teeth. like that's a guy that resonates with, you know, he can cross over into common, like, sports culture.
Pasternak's on a Dunkin' commercial.
Yeah.
That's one of the funniest things.
But that's perfect.
Hey, what do you want for your order, David? I only have 2 minutes. Give me a medium.
Yeah, but I mean that fits.
That's
like
classic.
Also a Boston guy doing a.
But he's from Czech Republic.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, no. There's certain stars that I think fit, but I do think that it helps. It definitely helps. Again, when you're a bigger league, you can get away with foreign stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're seeing it in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, of the top 10 players in the league, 5 of them are foreign.
Yeah.
Like
four out of the top 5, probably.
Yeah. And they're marketable, and I don't think it necessarily hurts the sport in the sense. I think it adds a little bit of intrigue now to the draft. And if you want your sport to be a year-long sport, there needs to be intrigue in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because of those 5 guys, now every time you see, like, who the hell is this Sar guy?
Yeah.
Like, but you're like, is he going to be the next Wemby? Is he going to be the next Luka? Now there's that extra added intrigue in a draft year that isn't supposed to be that exciting. And I don't know, maybe that hurts it a little bit, because we were talking about this. I think the other thing I think is in certain sports, when you have, you really get to see these players come up in college.
Yeah.
Hockey, you don't really get to see that because it's a draft similar to baseball. Guys get drafted
and then they
stay in college for a couple of years. You know, there's very, and then even if they stay, you know, stay in college, they float around in the minors a little bit. There's very, very few that just get drafted and immediately make an impact. And the ones that do become mega stars, like Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, Chris Kreider for the Rangers, you know, certain players like
we're not putting Kreider in the same conversation as McDavid.
But that's just one that comes to mind, a guy that played got right drafted away. And then went straight to the playoffs.
Played right away.
Yeah, yeah. Played right away. That's what I was getting at. But no, the I feel like hockey does need, because again, it's one of those secondary, tertiary leagues. I feel like you need a good American-born product. Now, I will say this. We were talking about this over on Middays with Marcus Maben. When was there the last college player that really moved the radar in the NBA draft? And was it Zion?
Zion.
Definitely. Zion was probably the last one?
Yeah.
And
because after him, there's a lot of COVID, and it's been a lot of international guys going number one.
I mean, yeah, right.
Wimby, you're going to have one going this year. Zion was, 19, I think, 2019?
I think so.
Then 2020 was weird because, like, I don't even remember who came out that year. But, he definitely moved the needle. He was appointment TV. And then that same draft was Ja Morant, too.
Also
and
true.
And both of those guys were, like,
he was a walking highlight machine.
Anthony Edwards won 2020.
But that's
outlier because he came into college and we're like, even if you're on Georgia, we know you're going first overall. Like that was like,
yeah, he was really good, but I don't think the bigger buzz around that draft was LaMelo Ball. I feel like he came in with a bigger star power now, and obviously
the question mark of James Wiseman, because I remember he got picked over LaMelo.
Yeah, he did.
And they still won a championship, but it's crazy to think that the Warriors could have had LaMelo and it just could be him dishing it off to Curry, and Curry's taking a step back logo three, and it's like, oh, all right. But no, they're stuck with Clay. James Wiseman's now in Detroit or God knows what.
Yeah, that's just wallowing away. Yeah.
But the last player to really move the needle for the draft and coming in like surefire number one pick was Zion Williamson in his highlight. And like I said, his draft was aided because Ja Morant was also in the draft. And it was both of these guys, they look like they could be like stars right away. And they were. And, you know, outside of like Ja with guns and Zion with injuries, they've been stars.
now that's another question I want to ask you guys, because I think that added to the intrigue of Zion was the fact that the Knicks had a chance to win the draft lottery.
Yeah,
that helped.
No, it did
that year because there was. I mean, I remember Stephen A. and myself were already, even though it was only like a 15% chance, it was already like he's coming to New York, baby. And then they got RJ Barrett, and that was okay. But is it better when there's an alpha in the NBA draft, and then not really, and then a bunch of other decent players, or is it better when there's a ton of parity in the draft? Because this year, like we said, I mean, it's supposed to be a weaker draft, but that adds to the intrigue of these international players. It adds to the intrigue of who's going to go first.
Well,
I mean,
it depends on who you are, though. It adds to the intrigue for who. I think it's better when the alpha is an American.
Yeah,
like if it's a Zion.
Right.
Like, because it was Wimby, and Wimby as a prospect was just unique because he was 7'4", but had guard skills.
Yeah.
He was like,
could shoot.
Can he really be that good in the NBA? And then he was.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, he's going to be awesome. But when it's like Zion Williamson, like, oh, because that's another thing. Like that lead up, you said.
Ooh,
we saw Zion.
He dunks hard, and then I was like,
He also played at Duke. Like, yes, it was like, oh, he plays at Duke. They were rock stars.
People were sick of the coverage he was getting. Yeah, that was the thing. That there was that
but
whole conspiracy.
But he moved the needle, though. Like, true. He got so much coverage, and their team got so much coverage because, one, they were really good, and he was awesome. Like, you had to. He did stuff on the court that was like, a dude that's 285 pounds shouldn't be moving like that and jumping like that and dunking the ball
and
like
seeing
that.
All the things. The photo of him palming the basketball and like,
or blocking the 3-point shot,
or even
like from
exploding out of his shoe.
Even like, that was a highlight. Like, it was a highlight. So like that is what I mean by like if you have an American-born star that you got to see go crazy and cut, because that was the same with Ja Morant. Like we watched him his freshman year. Like, oh man, this little guy's kind of good at Murray State. Like,
and throwing down highlight reel dunks.
Good. And then his sophomore year was like, oh, no, this dude's must-see TV.
Right.
Like, then he goes to the tournament and beats Florida State or somebody. And it's like, or Marquette. I think it was Marquette. It's like, oh no, this dude is awesome. Like, yeah. this guy is crazy awesome. We're watching it even on the tournament stage. And so those things help a draft, because I know I have Zion. I know I have a Ja that I saw dominate in college that I expect to be the next tier in the NBA. Whereas the French guy, like a Wimby. Now, Wimby luckily did play two games in America against Scoot Henderson in Vegas.
Yeah.
And so that helped him a lot. But like these guys coming into the draft this year, like we saw Reed Shepard like a play a lot, and saw Kling, and like they were good. They were really good college players, but you know, they, you know, it was just like, okay, that's not Ja, that's not Zion.
Right.
And then the guys that are expected to go one and two played in France, and
nobody has seen them at all.
So like that doesn't help the draft at all. Like I believe this draft will have some of the lowest ratings the draft, even with it being 2 days. It's the ratings aren't going to
be great. Well, the second round going starting at 4 o'clock too. Like I almost kind of feel like they're punting a little bit on that. Like
that's just for content purposes. When I say that is, everybody knows the NBA just got a new media rights deal,
right?
And so, like, you're trying to make the most out of your new media rights deal. So, meaning you're going to extend the coverage, you're going to have extra day, like, because I'm paying a gazillion dollars for it. So I want to make the most out of it, whether the average viewer thinks it's smart or not. I need more content.
Right.
And so if I have it all in one day, I'm not getting the same bang for my buck because I'm now paying $2.6 billion a year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, so that, I think that's what the thought process was behind that.
I mean, the one-day NBA draft, I mean, because Pops usually would work it. And so okay. I would listen,
yeah.
And I'd be driving around, and I remember coming home from the restaurant, and I was like, damn, this thing's still going.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's 11 p.m. Like, I don't know if necessarily it's for the second round. I don't know if necessarily, you know, people going in the second round at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday or Wednesday is going to be garnering the same. I mean, maybe like I'd like to see what the ratings are.
That's huge.
Like I'd like to see like a four p.m. round two.
Yeah.
As opposed to a one day, you know, 11 p.m.
Yeah,
but second round,
and that number at the 4 o'clock hour anyway is going to be better than whatever the start of the second round number was going to be.
Right,
later
right.
in the day.
That's a good point,
because most people are going to cut it off, go to work or whatever, because they've seen the first round, they've seen the guys on their team. The second round is just kind of like whatever. Whereas like you're hoping that, you know, people are just starving for sports content because there's no real outside of baseball. Now hockey's wrapped up, College World Series wrapped up. There's no other sports happening. Like, even though this isn't a sport, it's a sporting event.
No, yeah,
and it's
right.
live
it's
content.
Content.
It's
content.
Live content, and content is king right now.
Yeah.
So that's what they're going for.
It's perfect that the second round starts at 4 p.m. though, because then Schriebel will be on when Antonio Reeves gets picked.
Yeah, there we go.
So he'll be happy.
He will be happy. We'll take we're really late for a break. We might as well just take our top of the hour break here. A couple of texts we can work in here. Zach trying to take over for Louis. I didn't hear that today. Was there some jockeying for the mic?
No, that's funny though.
That is funny. Did COVID show the NFL they can play whenever? It's not a bad question.
It basically, yeah. Pretty much, because you had to reschedule games on like Tuesday.
Yeah.
If COVID happened, like COVID showed the world that they could do a lot more than what we thought we could.
Right.
And so, like I said, a game on Wednesday, yeah, the players may hate it, but they also are getting these big new contracts because of doing things like playing on Wednesday. That's why the media rights still keeps going up, and that means the salary cap keeps going up. And so you get these big, you know, Justin Jefferson, a wide receiver, gets a $35 million a year contract. He wouldn't have been able to do that 10 years ago because the media rights wasn't the same 10 years ago.
True.
You know, so like in the next wave of quarterbacks, I mean, Trevor Lawrence has been mid and gets 275.
Yeah.
He's 275, gets 55 a year. But that's because of the new
was
media
that
deal.
The most lucrative or the second? Was it the second most lucrative
it's,
contract in the NFL?
It's tied for the highest.
Is it tied for the highest?
Per season, yeah. He's number one, 55 a year. I think his guarantee wasn't as much as some other people. I think out of the 275, his guarantee wasn't nearly as much, but his annual per
his
year
annual
is, 50,
is
the most ever.
Is the most
Did you
ever.
Hear what he said, too?
No, what he said.
He was like, I've made the contract so we can build a good team around me. I don't need the extra money. you just signed the tied for the highest amount in salary average.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know what you're talking
I'm
about.
I'm not Trevor. Sure, you know, you could be magnanimous with that. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. I never rooted for Jordan. Nick, please see if you can verify any of the many stories circulated about how terrible Jordan treated service / wait staff, especially when it came to tipping. It's like he refused to tip anybody. Mm. I don't know about those stories.
Never
I
heard that.
I have heard, and yeah. LeBron even like, and I'm not a LeBron hater. Mm. I like LeBron very, very much. But I have heard he's notoriously a terrible tipper. And like he's even like made note of like saying he was like, yeah, I'm cheap.
Like, yeah, I've heard him say he's cheap and won't pay for like plain Wi-Fi and stuff like that. But I didn't know these guys were cheap with tipping.
Well, that's
horrible. I you know how I feel about that. I don't like that. Not tipping service people.
We're all service industry folks here. So yeah, no, there's a great thing that I think Tony Kornheiser used to do on his show called Tipped or Gypped. And people would text in and be like, hey, I served, you know, Cam Neely and he left $100 tip, you know, for his bar tab. Or, you know, I served, pick another player. George Brett stiffed me, you know, one time, you know. So I don't know. I made that up about both those guys. I don't know. Cam Neely could be a cheapskate. George Brett could be the most, generous man on the planet.
Wait, Cam Neely, Dumb and Dumber movie star?
Yeah, that's why I picked him. Like, it just popped into my head. I thought it was no tipping Pippin, this texter says. I don't know. He just strikes me as such a curmudgeon-y guy, Pippin. Like, I could,
Scotty's got an axe to grind with the world. It's dude, because he does. His ex-wife.
Yeah,
bangs a lot of people.
Did you? Yeah, that probably made me pissed off too. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I saw a report that it said Larsa Pippen has said she's got her eye on Bronny.
Yeah,
and
I was was fake.
That has to be fake, right? He's like 19.
Yeah, I think it was fake, but it just. Could it have makes legs. So much sense. Has legs because of what she's done.
Because of the history. Yeah, exactly. That's true. All right, well, we'll take a top of the hour break. It's the V Show on a Tuesday, ESPN 680, 105.7. Jeff Lightsey Jr., Tanner Brunomesso, Nick Valvano, and for Bobby V today. Keep it locked here. We got more on the other side.